Hey everyone, Jim Phoenix here in today's special Streaming Demons. That's right, we've got the American Emily as a special guest. Box is out on special assignment, trying to find more movies that could become famous with on the interwebs. We've got some war, two war movies, really, and a ghost game, all this and more on the next Streaming Demons. Hit it. Or, there we go. That was a double click. I'm like, oh, I clicked it twice. Damn it. Oh, that music. Sponsored by CarMax. No sponsorships. I'm playing it live. Yeah, that's me playing it live. I do that once in a while, you know. Multi-talented. Nice.
All the way.
Hey, kids, fantastic. We're back. So, today, if you have not liked and subscribed, do it now before you hear the podcast. I think that's the most beneficial. I think if you like and subscribe, click the bells, whatever you do, that's better than actually listening to the podcast and then doing it. Because you might hate the podcast. Like, what the hell, I just liked. Yeah. Why don't you like and subscribe? Who cares? Today we have a special guest on Streaming Demons. We have none other than, how you say your name? Emily. The Americano Emily. We've got a special guest because of two things. We've got a naked special guest behind us. No, we have a special guest because of two things. Numero uno. Box is on hiatus, meaning they're on a field trip somewhere trying to get more internet clout with their last interview that everyone loved, their review. Oh my God, it blew up. So Box is probably out somewhere finding more things like that. And number two, Emily and I actually watched two of these movies, which is two more movies than I usually watch. So there you go. Well, Emily, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. You're very kind.
I am not very kind, but you're welcome. Or as Dr. Payne would say, who cares? He is not kind. So why do you like horror? Why do you like watching horror? Because I know that you have a very special horror movie that you turned me on to from a Billy Idol song.
Correct.
Eyes Without a Face. So why do you like horror?
Ah, that's an excellent question. I think it's because of society we live in. It's always very polite, very clean, very édulcoré, as we said in French. And horror is a kind of genre where you can see people, imagination can be really gore, really dark, really bloody, you see? And it's interesting to watch movie where you've got people who imagine murder or inspire themselves from, you know, serial killer or the scare, etc. I don't like to get scared when I watch a movie. I don't like that. It's not my thing. However, I really like imagination. Right. And these people who try to do horror, it's a lot of imagination. And often it's a genre who is not really respected. So you have a lot of B-movie. And B-movies are the best.
So you like the B-movie horror? You like the B-movies instead of like the, oh my God, there's like $1,000 production value.
Correct, yes. I don't like the, oh, let's see, so one, so two, so three, so four. There is no imagination, there is no character. I like movies like, for example, the movie with Antonio Banderas, when he take a man, kidnap him, and change him into a woman. It's horror, what? But a different kind of horror.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's a man, you change into a woman, what?
Yes, but against his voluntary, against his desire. He kidnaps a person and for revenge because apparently the dude raped his daughter and she committed suicide. He changed the guy, operate him, and turn him into a woman. And there
That's
is
insane.
All this movie about changing the identity of the person, like the real horror of thing. And sometimes there is some movie where it's horror, but you realize the horror, the gore of the movie is less horrific than the reality of society. For example, there's a lot of Japanese movie who are like that. I really like the Japanese culture where they say the monster is not the dragon, but the monster inside of you.
Is the person.
It's the personality, the person. Yes, correct.
Yeah, if you ever seen, it's not Japanese, but the one I'm thinking of, Train to Busan, a lot of the actual horror is just the people. The zombies are there, but this the people that are the shit show.
I heard about the literature, the genre of horror, but horror is very, in literature, very bland. It can be cannibal to the story of a woman who became pregnant, and the way she described a pregnancy, it's a loss of identity, a monster inside of her who grow. People around her who celebrate cancer because she sees a baby as a cancer, as not a cancer, but as a lump.
I always see it as a parasite.
As a parasite, yeah, as a lump. And it's really well written. And when you read it, it's like people around you are like, why do you want to kill it? Why do you want to not keep it? This is really good news. And she describes the way she goes to the maternity and her body is completely transformed, and she has to push that body outside, and she's getting operated, she's getting a C-section at the end, and all her identity just flip because she becomes a mother, and it's really interesting. That's this kind of horror genre who is really interesting. I'm a mother, I love my kids. It's a blessing to be a mother, I'm a very proud mother, but this kind of literature is really interesting. The everyday horror of go. What makes you cringe can be different from what makes me cringe. You see what I mean? Like losing your hair.
Sometimes you can describe it as body horror. And the everyday horror, I think these three movies, they try to do it, well, two of the three movies absolutely do it in this can happen. The third movie, you have to use imagination that could happen. But you have to like stretch imagination a bit for the entire effect. And I think that's a perfect way into the horror of war. See, we got two war movies. You and I watched one war movie. And then I watched another one called The Convert, which you think is about like a cult. But it's not. It's not about a cult at all. No matter how much ChatGPT kept saying it's about a cult, it's not. Okay, imagine this. It's 1830s or 1800s, something like that. And you are arriving on a brand new settlement, like a brand new area. And we'll call it, oh, I don't know. I will say, if you know anything about the British, they did a little bit of colonizations. A little bit. And this is a great movie for, well, let's say people who are interested into New Zealand societies, people who want to do history.
Interesting. So it's set up in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill this name.
I apologize in advance. I'm going to kill this name. But it's going to be the Maori culture in New Zealand.
No, you're right. That's how it's pronounced. Maori. Yeah, you're right. Nice. Very well done. It's really interesting because when you listen about Australia and New Zealand from a perspective in French or Europe, right? We don't talk about the Aborigine and the Maori except to say, oh, they're very good dancer and painter and they've got tattoo and they get fucked up and that's all. Yeah. And that's really bad because once you go to Australia, because as you know, Jim, I lived 2 years in Australia in a small community where there were Aborigines people. They are smart. Yes. They've got famous writer. They have fantastic histories. They have a knowledge about medication, plant medication, who is fantastic. They're
but no
amazing
famous
hunter.
Models.
They do in Australia.
I thought they... The Aboriginals have famous models?
Yes, they do. Because
the cameras stole their souls.
Wait. They have Black, African, and Aborigine models. They do. And there is more and more movie, more and more art picture about them.
There's Aboriginals with no souls in Australia, you're saying?
No. They did differently now. They are now kind of privatized their land. Like the native in America. They are creating kind of reserved, but it's not reserved. Like, for example, now you cannot go as a white person to different land in Australia, especially in the outback, because they're sacred land.
Okay.
No. Well, you didn't hear about that?
Oh, yeah, probably.
It was a big thing for the far right in Australia. They were like, oh, we're Australian. We have the right to go in this land. And the Aborigine are like, no, it's sacred land. It's for us. You pushed us away. There is a lot of history. Also, there is white Aborigine who are right, basically white like me, right? Who have ancestors who are native Aborigine. Long story short, in the beginning of the 20th century, they kidnapped the kids who were mixed race with the Aborigine to take them out from their parents.
Well, that's horrific. Now imagine that happening in New Zealand where this movie is. And there is a time where they have different sects of this tribe, different tribes, right? Yeah, different tribes. And they're at war. And the person who identifies most of the war is the British trying to drive them apart. Because as you know, if the indigenous people of an area almost combine together instead of fight, they have a better chance of pushing away colonial powers in 1800s. So one way for the British to get past this is to start supplying arms to one side and then the other as like free enterprise, quote unquote, right? So you have this very important time where if you could separate different tribes by making them fight each other more and giving them better weapons, so they can kill each other faster.
That's what French people did in Africa, in Rwanda.
Well, tons of people everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what this movie is based in. We have Guy Pearce. And if you're ever wondering if the movie is well acted, yeah, it's got Guy Pearce in it. The acting's phenomenal. And it's not just Guy Pearce. It is a bit of he's coming as a preacher and he's trying to be the man of God, but he's like the man of war, really. But he's trying to be very spiritual and get, you know, put away his buddy pass type thing. And you have it being pushed until you just can't be pushed anymore. And he, you know, the whole fighting back type thing. But what I really like about this movie, other than it's well shot, well directed, like I said, the acting is phenomenal. I like how they're actually into the truthfulness of the history and allowing a lot of the cast members to tell their story, because we have people from the culture representing the culture.
That's really good. Do they speak the native language?
I don't speak it, so I wouldn't know. They say they do. Oh, he's the hell on me. You know, they could be just making shit up. I don't know. But I will say there's one thing that kind of works against it. And this is only because it could be a true story. It could be whatever. The thing that works against it is it's a bit of the white savior complex where these two tribes are warring and then, you know, the British are trying to tear them apart. And they could have peace at any time, but they don't until the white guy saves them.
That's a big dilemma. Some movies are really good, you know, in America. Like, for example, The Help is a very good movie. And the biggest critics about The Help is, oh, there's a white woman who helps. And I'm like, that's the goal of the story.
Emily, yeah? Emily, hold on.
Yeah.
I have to explain for people who are not used to a French accent. She's saying the help, not the elf. I thought you were talking about the elf. I'm like, the one with Will Ferrell?
It's got
like a bunch of white people
the
now.
The help.
Yeah,
the help.
Okay.
Yeah, the help. Okay.
Enunciate, motherfucker.
So, amazing casting of black actresses and very good history period when housekeeper couldn't share the same toilet like the white people.
Right.
It's segregation.
You could clean it, but you couldn't use it.
Really explain to the story. It's very well done. Fantastic movies, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, there is a white person who saved everyone. And I'm like, but that's the main goal of the movie. She's a journalist. She just finished university and she wants to write an article. And she makes the black housekeeper write the article. They become writers. They've got a big wage. They're very happy. They just give a hand and say, open the door and do it. And they became writers. And they're very proud. And the community
they
is great.
They were the help. Right, it can be something like that.
And it's fantastic. And the thing is, even my friend, say, oh, no, but you know, the white person, I'm like, it's a great movie. Why? Like, there's this problem. So for this movie, but for the main issue with Hollywood, it's there's no person of color with a hero. Like,
right.
These people.
I mean, there's no Black Panther at all. I know naming one doesn't mean name them all, but this is one of the cool things. The award that they won so far for The Convert, which I think it was going to win more, is the jury prize for best actress. And I am going to murder your name. I'm so sorry. Teorari Ngati Melbourne. Oh, I got the last name right. She wins for best actress and she should. She does a phenomenal. That's what I'm saying. The people that you know, you're going to know Guy Pearce. Everyone else, still a phenomenal acting. Like Antonio Del Mayo, these are phenomenal actors. You can't pick it apart on acting. One thing I will say, besides the Great White Hope thing, it does get a little bit edited much. And so sometimes the story goes, oh, wait, what the hell did I just do? Oh, she has to. All right. So it does take a little dip there. But overall, I liked it. I think it's a good one to watch nowadays, especially if everyone's doing Colonial Powers. I'm giving this 4 out of 5 Cthulhus. Check it out. It's only 1 hour and 59 minutes, 2023, The Convert.
It's check it out now. Because it's not an American one, right? It's New Zealand. So that's interesting. And that's a part of the story.
Right. And it's something you're going to pick up that's not going to be just USA, USA, USA. Now, we watch The Ghost Game, or I think it's just called Ghost Game, 2024, written by Adam Cesar and stars Kia Dorsey and Adrian Hughes. Ghost Game is the one of the two that you liked better, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I did. So I liked it better because it was entertaining. It was funny. The other movie, it's a beautiful movie, but it's the same kind of movie you can watch 10 years ago.
Well, the other movie is called The Last Front, and we'll get into that. But the Ghost Game, you like it? Is it more because it's a B movie? If you ever watch a Ghost Game, it is
B. Yes, definitely. I like the subject. The base of the movie, the subject is really interesting. People broke into people's house to place camera and do trick on them and scare them and everything. Great, amazing. Because when you watch Instagram or TikTok, there is a lot of people who are prankster, who scare people, etc. So I like it. Like this idea, it's really modern. People have now cameras, you know. Nowadays, you can have cameras and apps on your phone and spy on people, etc. Great, amazing, super.
Haunted Montiel LLC says, please do not spy on people on your phone. That's illegal as hell. But we know what you're talking about.
Right.
We know what you're talking about. People do that, pranks, and sometimes they're truthful pranks. I'm having people review Instagram and YouTube to see who they can spot the fakes. And the fake pranks are many. And this Ghost Game is supposed to be the truthful prank where people, the premise is, this is from IMDb, follows a thrill-seeking couple. The couple is not really a couple, and I got some issues with this, who set their target in a haunted house and endure various incidents as they witness a family going mad. Except that there's actually three people pranking, and they set this camera up in a very creepy way, basically recording a little girl through most of the film. All these things are illegal, illegal, illegal. And yet they built the premise on this, and the poster is pretty cool, by the way. So I have a question for you, since we both watched it. Did you believe those two as a real couple?
No.
No, not whatsoever,
no,
right?
No, no.
Like zero chemistry at all.
Like, it's really funny because we watched the movie and they're together and she's really upset at him because he's using her laptop and checking all videos of a game. And yeah. I didn't like her acting. It's like, oh my God, is that you? You had an accident. Yes. She had 12 stitches or 3 stitches and one night at the hospital. But tell me, was it you? No, it was not me. But there is the same mask you have on the wall. And exactly. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like,
same mask. It's right behind you. It's just the same right mask. Behind it's you. Like, yeah, it's Where's Waldo for Dummies.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I didn't like that. And there's some things about the editing that was sloppy. Like the guy gets kicked out of his apartment by the girlfriend, whatever. Yes. He's sleeping in his car and he brings in this coffee. There's like 12 cups of coffee. Like, yeah, four
cups of coffee. And we
four cups of coffee for two people.
We were debating, is it orange juice? Is it for so of people? So he gets kicked out. He sleeps in the car. He wakes up because the policeman is like, either you make up with your girlfriend
and get the hell out of the neighborhood,
which is the best actor, I think. The best actor.
It really was, because it's realistic.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be sleeping in your car outside someone's house. It looks sus as hell.
Yes. And then he enter, and what do we discover? There's a guy playing video game. So there is a girlfriend and a guy playing video game. And we're like, okay, there is a lot of people. Maybe he moved and went to Starbucks coffee, came back. Gave the coffee and there is a plenty of people. Not at all. It's just a friend. It's
And the guy didn't even know that other guy was going to be there. So he thought it was just him and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he still brings four coffees. I'm pretty sure it was just someone who had coffee on set. And they just bought that box in. But there's a lot of unforced errors.
Because he was moving like that. Like he was like talking with one hand and his coffee like this.
Yeah. He's talking around. That's it. There's a lot of unforced errors in this one, and some of the, without giving the ending away, because it's really easy to poke holes in the ending, it just kind of fuck it, let's end it. It was one of those.
It was bad. Like, I liked the two actors, the actress who plays the girlfriend, the boyfriend, not good chemistry. However, there were a good chemistry between the bad guy who played video game and the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Even thought maybe they were boyfriend and girlfriend or whatsoever.
Right.
The story was good. Family buy a new old house. They have financial difficulty because the guy was a writer and lost money. The mother is a housewife.
Right.
And the little girl has autism. So the little girl was a good actress, by the way.
Pretty good actress. I mean, it was weird because everyone was decent acting individually. It's just as an ensemble and in the world, they just kind of fall apart, which is my issue with it. But again, that's also kind of like the B movie madness of it all. Now, this is a hard one to talk about because we can't without spoiling it. It does have some decent effects. It's entertaining. It's an hour and 26 minutes. What was your score out of 5?
2.
2.
I like the storyline. It's great. I think if they go to a production movie with more money and better writer, etc., with a better casting, they could do something great. Like, I like the synopsis. I like especially the second part of the movie. It was really clever, but something's missing. Something's missing.
No, the second, something is missing throughout as a thread. And then I think act 3 kind of falls on it. 2 is pretty respectful. I'm going to give it a 2.4 just because of the indie feel to it. I think it had a good idea. I think that the editing, I'm not sure it's the acting or just the editing that kind of went askew in parts.
I think it's the writing. I don't know.
Something went askew.
There's a scene when they commute to the new place, and I really like it. It's a different radio music, different angle.
No, that you liked it. I hated it.
That was like, but I liked it because I.
Yeah.
The silence and the different.
For those of you that watch it, it's going to be in the beginning scenes, they drive and the radio plays a new song every freaking time you look at it. As someone who's budget conscientious, I'm like, oh, that's an entire budget in the first 5 minutes. What the fuck?
You know, but for me, who like to travel, and I like it because it was original. And whenever they would change of view and music, it would be somebody from makeup. Somebody from the coffee, somebody who plays the policeman. You see what I mean? I really like it.
Honestly, yeah, I get it. I understand. I think if the rest of the movie was stronger, it would be great. Ballsy thing to do. But I think they spent a lot of time setting it up that it didn't pay off. But that was that one. And last but not least, we've got The Last Front with none other than Mormont himself. No, wait, not Mormont. What's his real name? Ian Glenn. There you go. I like The Last Front. Amidst World War I's chaos, a grieving father turns hero, leading villagers to safety while evading a relentless enemy driven by vengeance. It is a World War I flick. What they're not really saying in the IMDb tag, which I really think that they should, it's like some farmer dude in the middle of just like leave me the fuck alone land who... no wants of his own gets dragged into a war that, you know, in that area, everyone just wanted to be left the fuck alone. But they get dragged into the war for World War I. So we both watched this one as well. We watched this one first, yeah, I think. Yeah, we watched this one first. So what'd you think about, I know war movies are more my jam than yours. So what'd you think about that? Uh-oh, your voice is gone. I can't hear you whatsoever. I might have to.
Sorry, my bad.
There you go.
My bad. I really like it because the synopsis is good. I came from North of France, and we had basically, bim, bada, boom, boom, bada, bim. We had basically the First World War, the Second World War. And I had many stories of grandparents, great-grandparents, since the German coming, English people coming, you know, trying to steal food, rabbit, etc. People getting, unfortunately, raped, shot, etc. We have many stories of village who rebel against the German or try to push. And the most known, actually, the kind of farm the guy has is the same in North of France. And it's called Flemish farm. They're square. They're really strong. And there is many stories in North of France of farms who were not taken by the German because they were able to shoot at them and use them as basically a blockhouse, basically a fortress. So it's listening to that story of them coming, trying to steal pigs and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And the guy saying, no, you can't do that because I need to feed my family. And the village and the clerk being really concerned about the German coming, even if they're in retreat. Yeah, completely plausible and true.
Yeah, I like that because I think you have it right. This is something I left out in the description, and I think they also leave it out. It's not just a grieving father. It's leading a villager to safety. The Germans aren't doing it because they want to conquer the land. The Germans are doing it because they, well, one's just complete a-hole. But most of the German army isn't doing to conquer the land. It's because they need to replenish their supplies.
Correct.
Their supply line's cut. They're trying to conquer the rest of the country, but they need to get food. They need to get some shelter. They need to get vehicles, whatever it's going to be. They need to reappropriate this stuff. And it's really interesting. It's a dual family dynamic. You have a lot of moving people with the farmer and then the soldier and their kids and stuff like that. And it's kind of a great exploration of war is not just numbers, it's actually people. And a lot of them don't give a shit whose side they're on. They're just trying to, like, Ian's character, Leonard, he's just trying to save his family, his daughter and his son, you
correct,
know, and stuff
yes.
like that. No spoilers. And the other guy who is playing like the German guy, he's just like, man, my son's a dill hole. What the fuck did I go wrong with this dude? He's trying to like
yes.
trying to save his son,
yes.
even to the point of like great pains. And you see this thing being played out. And I really enjoyed the way the acting is phenomenal. The writing is decent. It's also a bit formulaic because you've seen one war movie, like, oh shit, I've seen this one. And like it's kind of like that. But what brings you out of it is the way the actors and the way the setting is done. It brings you out of, and World War One, we don't see a lot of. We see a shit ton of World War II. A lot of World War II movies. I know. So World War I was kind of like not touched for a long time. So I think that's a smart move. And unfortunately, one person just blanked out. So I'm going to land this one myself. I think what we have here is for The Last Front. I enjoyed it. I'm going to give this a 4.2 out of 5. Mostly from the acting point of view and from the aspect of it was not a bazillion, you know, like there wasn't a bazillion stars. They had some great acting, solid acting, and the characters do grow. It's going to be a matter of how much they grow and how well it's pulled off. I think there's some scenes that get rushed, which is not why it's not a 4.5 for me. But overall, 4.2, check it out. It's only an hour and 38 minutes. This is like, again, they're not 12-hour marathons. You enjoy it. If you like war movies, give it a spin. It really doesn't go into the horror of war a bit. Now, that's it. Oh, my God, 31 minutes. That's it for me, Jim Phoenix, and my friend American Emily, who's coming in or out right now. And then here we go. Maybe in, maybe out. We're not sure. So when we are doing it next time, we'll be back with Streaming Demons with a matter of, looks like Aliens. We're going to do a couple of specials coming up. We're going to do a Thanksgiving special. We're going to do a other special, and other special, and a bunch of other stuff like that. All that more. And next Streaming Demons. And some singles too. Ooh, watch out for those. Bye, y'all. Wait.
Bye.
I hear a cat.
Yeah, motherfucker.